Welcome to the Sales Technology Call. My name is Susan Joy Schlieff, and I'll be filling in for Rick Cooper today. We have several people on the call already, and if you're not driving while you're listening, then a good place for you to be is on the Facebook group, the Sales Technology Training Facebook group. Roy Rasmussen is already there, getting the comments started. Roy, could you just let me know? I think you're saying you can hear me now, right? Alan says, go, Susan. Okay, you must be hearing me. All right. So let me get the notes up here that I have to read. The Sales Technology Program is, where am I? Consists of 12 modules, and they're all available online. Rick sent the link for the archives in the email today with the call notes, so you can look for that there. He also included a link to the membership site where you can access the videos that come with the program. Be sure you also take a look at those notes in his email, because he talks about a teleseminar that he's doing tomorrow, September 3rd, an interview with Patrick Snow about becoming a best-selling author. So I know some of you are going to be interested in that. If you haven't already registered, be sure to check his email. So today, because Rick's not here, he asked me to fill in. We're going to diverge a little bit from our usual topics and talk about visual content marketing. So I included in the notes one of my favorite quotes. Let me see if I can I'm going to get myself off of speakerphone here so I don't keep hearing the beeps from Facebook. All right, that should help. A favorite quote of mine that I included in notes is from Walt Disney. He says, "Of all of our inventions for mass communication, pictures still speak the most universally understood language." I think that's a really important quote, because it reminds us that people really understand pictures a lot better than they do language. We've been looking at physical things in our evolution for much, much longer than we've been speaking words. So we definitely always understand things through pictures better than with words. So let's start out by talking about some ways that you can add more visuals to your online marketing. And since we're in the Facebook group, we'll start by talking about social media posts. And as you know, I posted an example there of the kind of thing that I post often on Facebook and Pinterest as well, and sometimes on Twitter and Google+. And that is what I like to call a tip graphic. I also do quote graphics, but this one is not a quote. This one is a tip. And I have a blue, bright blue sky background there with a clothesline and three post clips that are clips to the clothesline. This is an image that I just found online. I think it was on Morgfile, if I remember correctly. And I'll talk about some of my favorite sites a little bit later in the call. And the image just had blank yellow post-its, and then I used PowerPoint to put the text over the top of the yellow post-its, so now they say use bold images. And then I included the tip right in the bottom of the image. You could put it in the status if you want, but I like to put it right on the image, because that way, especially in Pinterest, people share the images and they don't always necessarily share the status part of it, the text part with it. So the tip says, use big, bold, unusual images to stand out in the content stream. And that's really part of what's important about using pictures, as well as making sure that they are bold images, is that as you scan through your list of content in Facebook or Twitter or wherever it is, you know, we're all overwhelmed with so much coming through our news feed or stream or whatever you want to call it, that pictures really do help to grab our eye. Videos do that as well. They're another important type of visual content. But using some kind of visuals helps for people to take notice of your post. Some people do respond to just text-based posts, but pictures and visual posts get shared much more in Facebook than text-only posts. Another way to use visuals in your online marketing is in your blog posts. And WordPress, if you're using WordPress for your blog, it makes it very easy to add images and to format them as you wish. So putting your image near the top of your blog post, I've discovered, is a really good idea, because then when you share your blog post, for instance, on Facebook, it will capture a little bit of the blog, you know, in the, like, the first two lines of it in the top of the description. And if your picture appears at least no more than two lines into your blog, Facebook should pick up the image and add it to the status post in Facebook. Now, I say should because I think that has changed a little bit, and I'm not sure if that's still working. But another option, if that does not work, is you can always add the image for the blog separately. If you've already added the image to the blog post and you have the image saved somewhere on your computer, then you can post the image to the Facebook status and then add the information with the blog link. You have to do it in that order, because if you add the link for the blog first, it will automatically go ahead and post an image, but it basically just says, you know, it shows the W for WordPress and the link for the blog, and it doesn't really have the image that you want associated with the blog post. So the way to get around that is, again, post the image first, which you have to have saved on your computer, and then add the link for your blog. So another good way to add more visual content is for all of your social media profiles to make sure that you're using header images, or cover images as they're called on Facebook. And that means not just on your personal profiles, but on your business pages as well. So in Facebook, you want to make sure that you have an image on your Facebook page for your business. If you have a business page in Google Plus, you want to have a header image for it. And, of course, they all have different dimensions. They couldn't make it easy for us, right? Once in a while, you can see a post from some of the social media experts that will list all the different sizes. Of course, some of the social media sites change their dimensions, so then those aren't always up to date, but it's a good place to start. I know HubSpot has a blog post like that. If you can't find anything posted on Facebook, you can always go look on the HubSpot website and look for social media picture sizes or something like that. I have a lot of them written down myself, but I don't know that I have all of them. And as I said, they do change, so you have to watch for that. Another way that you can use visual images is in what is basically text material, but certainly allows you to add images to it, and that includes reports, ebooks, checklists, blueprints, things like that, the kinds of things that you may be using as a free giveaway to get someone to opt into your email list. It's a great place to include visual images for a couple of reasons. One is it makes it more engaging for people to read, and you do want people to consume that content that you shared with them. You don't want to just get their email address. You want them to actually read what you shared with them so that they'll learn to like your content and trust you as an expert, and then they'll be more likely to engage the next time that you have an offer to share, right? Whether it's a free offer or a paid offer, if they download your content and then never read it, then they still don't know anything more about you than they did before. So one way to encourage them to open your content and read it is to make sure that you have a picture on the front so it's more inviting. That also helps in the opt-in page. If you want to include a picture of the report or ebook or whatever it is, you need to have an image on the cover so that it looks more attractive and more inviting. The next thing on my list here is the kinds of images that we were just talking about at the beginning, like the one I have shared on the Facebook group right now. That one I call a tip graphic, but I have plenty of others that I share that I call quote graphics. Some people just call them all memes, and that's fine. It just sort of still bothers me that corruption of the word meme, but it seems to be what it means now. So I use quote graphics and tip graphics, and sometimes I'll create event graphics as well to promote different webinars and hangouts and things like that. I do most of my creation like that in PowerPoint because that's what I'm really familiar with, but there are lots of ways to create your own quote graphics and tip graphics. You can use sites like Pixlr and Pixabay. There's a tool that I purchased that I have promoted a couple times. I think I'm going to do another campaign later this fall where people can sign up and pay a small monthly fee to create all kinds of different graphics for Facebook in different sizes. It has the sizes already built in for the header cover images as well as in-stream posts like that and events images, and they all have their own unique sizes. So with a program like that, where the sizes are built in, it makes it really easy. But even without that, if you know the dimensions, you can type them into whatever program you're using to create your images. And generally, like I said, what I do is put the image on and then add my quote or tip right on top of the image. Unless it's a really busy picture, and in that case, you'd probably want to have a blank area above the picture or below the picture, or you can even put a small box into the middle of the picture, make it semi-transparent if you want, so you can still see the image behind it, and then put your quote on top of that so it's easier to read. And by the way, if you are interested, I have another offer that I shared in the notes, but I do have a free report about creating quote graphics in PowerPoint. So if anyone is interested in that, you can email me and I'll send you the link for that report. So another place where you want to use graphics is in your event announcements. I am just getting ready to post one myself tonight for a hangout that I have coming up Thursday night and as well as Saturday. So I'm going to be posting that tonight. And again, the event sizes are a little bit different than the content, the newsfeed stream sizes. So I have to go and look up what the sizes are for that before I finish it. But I'll put a little image that I have associated with that hangout And then I put all the contact information and the registration link and create the event in Facebook. And then when I share it in the newsfeed, it has the image with it, so it's more interesting. You can do the same thing in Google Plus as well if you're posting events in there. Slideshows are another great way to add visuals to your content marketing. I mean, slideshows really should be a no-brainer for visual images. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't use enough images. They do a lot of bullet point text. But slideshows really are made for images. You've got the whole slide screen that you can just fill up with pictures, right? Or fill up with one big picture. And I included some of my social media links at the end of the notes in the email. I'm happy to connect with you, but that's not the main reason I put them in there. It's so that you can take a look at examples of how I use the images. I have a lot of slideshows on my slideshare.net site that have lots of images used in them. So you can take a look at that, particularly for holidays. I like to make a holiday slideshow that is mostly pictures and then maybe some quotes on top of the picture. And one thing to keep in mind if you're going to do slideshows is that if you're posting them online where there's no narration, you need to really have different slides than you would use in a live presentation or a webinar, because you're not going to be there explaining what it's about. So people have to understand it just from looking at the slides. So similar to slideshows would be webinars and hangouts, except there you do have a live presenter, right? Even though it's not in person, you still have me or somebody talking about the slides. So you don't have to put as much text on the slide. You can rely on just mainly pictures and then let your narration explain what it's all about. Email marketing is another possibility for using pictures, but it depends on whether you want to use HTML email or just if you want plain text instead, then of course you can't include images. I just started about several months ago using HTML instead. I had been using plain text before that, and I started doing an HTML newsletter so that I could include images in it. Infographics are another really popular way to add graphics to your mix, and you can make your own, but if you don't feel like making your own, there's a site called visually.com, I think it's .com, that has lots of infographics that you can share on your social media sites, and I think you can even embed them on your blog posts, I believe. So infographics are really popular, especially on Pinterest. Pinterest loves infographics. So that if you're not using those, that might be something that you want to look into. Particularly sharing other people's is an easy way to start. But then, like I said, you might eventually think about making your own as well, and there are some tools on the market that make that easy. And the final one I'll mention, I'm sure there are probably others as well, but videos is a really big way to use visual images. And again, just like with the slideshows, you need to make sure that you're creating a visual video, not just one that has text on the screen. I know some people still like those black text on the white screen and the narrator is just saying the same thing as the text. Those apparently convert well for some people, but I think they're horrible, so I don't do those. I like lots of pictures in my video. So let's talk about why visual images are so important. And you probably know some of this already, but pictures on Facebook get more likes, comments, and click-throughs. Blog posts with images get more comments. And some of the reasons, you know, there are lots of reports and statistics about those, but the statistics vary from one study to another, so I don't usually bother even quoting them anymore. One reason visuals are so important is because the human brain processes pictures 60,000 times faster than text. It goes through a completely different part of the brain than text does. And there's really no thought involved in most of it. Sometimes you have to look at a picture and kind of figure out what it is, but most of the time your brain just knows instantly what it is. So again, if you can put the pictures and the verbal text with it, then you enhance your understanding of the information or your audience's understanding of the information. Another thing is that 90% of our sensory input enters our brain through our eyes. So we really are created and made to process visual information, much more so than auditory. And we remember pictures better and longer than words. There have been a lot of studies done with slide presentations to confirm that, as well as educational studies with online training materials, a lot of research on that. And an important reason for marketers is that pictures speak to the subconscious and the emotions. And those are both very important, of course, when you're trying to get people to make a buying decision. It's really our subconscious that makes those decisions. Even though we like to think our conscious brain is in control, it's really not. You know, you've heard that expression, I'm sure, that emotions, see if I can get it right now. I can't think of it, but something like facts tell and emotions sell, right? That's what it is. So pictures can help with that. So one of the questions I get asked all the time is where to find good images. And usually people are asking where to find free images, which is important. We all want to save money. But what's even more important than whether they're free is that they are royalty-free, so that you're not going to get in trouble for using them. And there have been some known cases over the last few years of internet marketers that have gotten sued for using images that weren't copyright-free. So it's really important to know. I know people often will start by looking on Google Images and doing a search there, and they'll search for free images. But then they'll find that a lot of the images that come back in those results aren't really legally available to use for various reasons. Google will show you all kinds of things in those search results, but not with the idea that you're going to take those images and use them on your own blog post. It's almost like they're just saying, oh, you want to see pictures of dogs? Well, here's a whole bunch of pictures of dogs. But they're not pictures that you can use. If you try to search for royalty-free graphics, you're going to get a lot less results, and many of those will not be free. And I have to tell you, I have never gotten it to work trying to search for free, royalty-free graphics. Google just does not seem to know what to do with that. So what I do instead is I just make note anytime somebody mentions a good site, I write it down and I add it to my list. And I do that just this morning. I was watching a webinar and somebody mentioned a site I hadn't heard of before, so I jotted it down. And that's how I've accumulated a list of image sites that I really like. One of the first ones that I started, that I just discovered on my own, actually, searching for royalty-free images, as I found everystockphoto.com. And the way that site works is they link to a bunch of other sites that have royalty-free graphics. And everystockphoto has a really good search engine that includes those other sites. So you can go there and search against Flickr and SXU and a whole bunch of other, I think probably 10 or 12 different sites that they include in their search results. It might be more than that even. And so when you search on a particular phrase, it will return results from all those different sites. You do need to be careful about the images. So any image that comes up there, you want to look at what kind of licensing it has. And that varies. Some sites will be public domain and others will have Creative Commons license where there are certain restrictions that you need to attribute the author or something like that. The other thing is some of those sites that will come back let you download directly from every stock photo, and some will require you to get an account on their site in order to download the images. So you have to check that out. It's different for each site. Every stock photo will let you search without an account, but in order to download, you would have to have an account, but it's free. Another site I really like is Wikimedia Commons. The website is commons.wikimedia.org. This is associated with Wikipedia, and a lot of their images are older, or they're just very unique things that you won't find anywhere else. And a lot of them are in the public domain, either because the images are old or because they are U.S. government property. They might be images that were taken in the line of duty for a military person or somebody from NASA. Or somehow in the course of government work, these images were created, and therefore they belong to the U.S. taxpayers. So they're free to use. They're in the public domain. Some of the images are not. Some of them are Creative Commons licenses, and again, you need to check that carefully for each site. Another one that I really like is morgfile.com. It's a strange name, I know, and they explain on their website why they chose that name. It has nothing to do with dead bodies. But they have a lot of images. Some of them are free, some are not. You can do a filtering on their website to bring up only the free images. You can't search on the free images. So what I do when I have a little free time every once in a while, I just go through the site and look for anything new that appeals to me, and I save them to my hard drive. So I might spend an hour doing that every couple months. And then when I need an image for something, not necessarily something specific. Oh, Roy is saying that the audio cut out. It looks like I'm still on, Roy, but you're not hearing me. Okay, Alan says he can hear me. Good. Thanks. Yes, morgfile.com I was talking about. I just save those, and then when I need an interesting background, maybe for a quote graphic or an interesting slide picture that, you know, is, I'm not going to probably find a specific topic that I'm looking for, but I can look for pictures that are interesting and then see if maybe someday I have a use for it. So that's just the way I like to work with it. And a couple other sites that I do that with as well. One is called unsplash.com. And they actually will send out an email once a month with a whole bunch of pictures embedded in the email. And then you can download them directly from the email. They have some, again, unusual pictures and pretty good quality. And another one is called unprofound.com. That is a site where you can actually search by color and find up all the images that have magenta in them or all the images that have green in them. So sometimes you may want a particular color to go with something that you're creating, and that's a great place to look. And the last one I'll mention for now is, it's not free, but it's inexpensive. It's one that I really use a lot. It's called PresenterMedia.com, and they have different types of graphics there. They have very high quality clip art. They have animated GIFs, or GIFs if you prefer. They have animated PowerPoint templates, which I end up using quite a bit for my videos. And then they have regular PowerPoint templates as well. And they also have movie video clips that you can download, full motion video. You can download those and use them as background for a video. So I really like their stuff a lot. I've been a subscriber for a couple years now. It's not terribly expensive, so you might want to check them out and see. To me, that's the first place I go because it's easy to search. They have a lot of business-related things, and I just really like them, especially for video. So again, anytime you're looking at an image site, you want to make sure that you look at the image license, and that might be one license for the whole site, or like in the case of Wikimedia and every stock photo, the license is going to vary with the different images. And just the main ones to be aware of is public domain means it's free to use. There are no requirements, no restrictions. Creative Commons, there are several different varieties of license for Creative Commons. You can go to creativecommons.org and read about that. Each of the variations of a license has slightly different requirements. There's one that is for non-commercial use only. There are others that can be used for commercial, but they still require some attribution of the artist or something like that. So again, just because it's Creative Commons, don't assume that it's always the same. You need to look closely at the license. One last type of site I'm going to mention, and then we'll break for some questions. There are a couple of sites that I belong to that send out either weekly or monthly free graphics. And they're sort of like a collective marketplace, maybe you could call it, where they have a bunch of different designers that all have come together and they share their work on this site. Most of it's for sale. Okay, now that was weird. I just got a beep. So please let me know if you can still hear me. Can you type a comment in there and let me know if I'm still connected? Okay, great. Thanks, Alan. I must have had a message come in, and it was beeping, so I didn't know if I got disconnected. All right, so with these marketplaces, what they will do is send out, like, one is Creative Market, and they send out six free, it's usually images, but sometimes it's a font, sometimes it's a WordPress theme. So it can be different things, but a lot of it is images. They send out an email every Monday or Tuesday, I forget which it is, and you can download those things for free until the next one comes the next week, and then it all shifts over to that. You can find them on their website, and they also have a Facebook page. And then another one is Envato, E-N-V-A-T-O. And that one, I think they only do monthly freebies, and they don't send it out in the email. So you have to actually go to the site and look at what's free right now. They include a lot more variety in their content, though. They have audio, they have WordPress themes, they have graphics, They have video clips. It's just a whole bunch of variety of things, like 7 different sites or streams that are associated with that marketplace. So it's not going to be a solution for all your graphic needs, but what I do is I stay connected with them, and then if there's something good in what they're sharing that week, I'll go ahead and download it. But here's an important thing. I keep those in a separate folder on my computer because the licensing is different for those. They call them still royalty-free, but to me, it's not my definition of royalty-free. You can only use them on one project. And then if you want to use it again, you would need to buy a license for it. So to me, that's not royalty-free. If you use it once and then you have to pay for it to use it again, that's kind of like a royalty. I guess technically, legally, it's not a royalty, but it's not the same as the royalty-free images that I was talking about from other sites. So you have to be really careful to read the licensing on things like that as well. All right, so we've gone over the half hour, so I want to see what comments we might have in the group. I have some other content I can share, but let's see if people have questions they've been posting out here. All right. Roy says, sounds like it's working, Susan. Alan says, go, Susan. Roy says, yes, we can hear you now. All right. Lori says, oh, Lori's here too. Welcome, Lori. Roy says, email notes include link to Rick's upcoming interview. That's tomorrow, all right. Talking about visual content marketing today. Ellen says, pictures are powerful. They are indeed. Roy says, pictures are a universal language. Paraphrases Disney, definitely. All right. Alan says, adding pictures to Facebook posting is one way. Definitely. I know Rick usually likes these as he goes through, but I'm going to have to go back and do that later. I can't click and talk at the same time. Roy says, visual images help you stand out from other contents. That's definitely true. You guys are just taking turns here, aren't you? Ellen says, visual posts get shared more often in Facebook. Roy says, to control which image you want to appear on Facebook, post the image first and then add the link. Yeah, that's a great tip, Roy. Roy says, use pictures on the front cover to attract attention, right, for reports or ebooks and things like that. Roy says, create graphics to promote events. Definitely. Again, you want it to stand out in the news stream. Roy says, you can use PowerPoint or other graphics tools or online sites as well that let you do the graphics. Alan says, use whichever program or site you are comfortable with or familiar with to create graphics. That is a great suggestion, Alan. And Lori says, could you list the sites mentioned on the call? Lori, they are in the notes for the call, which Rick sent out by email. If you didn't get the email, let me know and I can forward that to you, but I'm not going to take the time to retype them all in the Facebook group. I could copy them at the end, but I can't do it right now. Ellen says, Susan likes to create quote graphics in PowerPoint. I do. I like working in PowerPoint. Roy says, Susan has a guide to create PowerPoint quote graphics. Contact her if you'd like to see it. Ellen says, you can do a lot using PowerPoint, and it's available everywhere. It is. And if you don't own it already, I don't know if you're aware of this, but you can now get a monthly subscription to it. For I think about $12 for the whole office suite. Ellen says, slideshows are cool. I agree with you. Lori says you can use pictures in email marketing if you use HTML. Yeah, that's right. Alan says you can include graphics in email marketing. Right. Roy says for live events, you may need to adapt your PowerPoint slides. Yep, I agree. Alan says infographics can be very appealing, especially on Pinterest. Right, you are. And Roy says videos can be another great way to use visuals. Yep, my favorite way right now. These slideshows used to be my favorites. Now I like videos. Alan says lights, camera, video. Right. Right, Susan likes picture-oriented video instead of text, but mentions that you can get conversions with both. Yes, thank you, Roy. I don't know how much longer that's going to be true, though. I've heard that the whiteboard doodle kind of videos are actually the highest converting right now. And that is one that I've been learning to do. Alan says, the human brain automatically processes pictures much faster than text. That's true. And he says, people remember pictures better and longer than just words. Also true. And that pictures speak to the subconscious as well as to the emotions. That's right, Alan. You got all of those. Lori says, we remember pictures more than words, and pictures speak to the subconscious. That's right, Lori. Pictures are effective, just like stories. That's good, Alan. Yep, both of those are important for reaching the subconscious of your prospects. Roy says, make sure your images are royalty-free and not just free. Absolutely. Check what licensing images you find have. Thank you, Roy. And Roy says, Wikimedia Commons can be a source of images in the public domain. Yeah, that's really one of my favorite sites. When Roy said the audio cut out, it looks like it was your audio. And Roy, you dialed back in. Great. I'm glad you made it back in. Alan says, morgfile.com has free images. That's right. I like their images, too. It's just not real convenient because you can't search through them. All right. Yeah, Roy says it went quiet for a second, but it didn't disconnect me. Okay. Well, I'm on a cell phone, so might have had a momentary bad signal. Roy says some services such as Creative Market send out periodic free images, fonts, etc. That's right. Yeah, you might check them out and see if you can find something you like. Oh, you know, I mentioned about the images you can only use one time or for one project, but fonts, that's not true. And WordPress themes, that's not true either. So if you get any of those free from them, the fonts you can download and add to your computer, and you can use them as many times as you want. So that's nice. Roy says, save your graphics in different folders to keep track of the licensing. Yeah, that's good, Roy. It took me a while to figure out my filing system for my images, because I was trying to do it by subject matter at first, but then I couldn't remember which ones were free and which ones were Creative Commons and had an attribution requirement. And so I finally gave up on trying to do it by subject and just started organizing them by where the images came from. And then usually what I'll do is make a screenshot of the licensing page. If it's a site where all the licensing is the same, I'll make a screenshot of the licensing and save that in the same folder with the images. Roy says, Susan, do you know what program people use to create those little white faceless models? You know, Roy, I don't really. I would imagine something like maybe Adobe Illustrator or Photoshop or something like that. It's really more of a graphic design program that you would need to do that. What I do instead is there are a lot of those images with the little white folks like that on the presenter media site. So, and at first I didn't really like using them that much, but then one of my coaches pointed out that the reason he likes those is because you don't have to worry about what nationality they are. You don't have to worry about, you don't even really have to worry about what they're male or female, although there are a lot of them that have male or female attire, but they don't have to, you know. So it makes them very generic, and in that way it's easier. You don't have to look for a particular kind of person. So I have started using them some, although I know they're not appropriate for every presentation or video. Roy shared an image there of the kind he's talking about with the little, I think of them as Pillsbury Doughboys, but I know people have different names for them. So Laurie says, how could we get your free report? Are you talking about the one, Laurie, that tells how to make the quote graphics? Let me just go ahead and type that. I don't know off the top of my head what the link is for that. So if you can email me, Laurie, at susanjoyschlieff@gmail.com, I'll go ahead and type that in the comments there. Because I don't know the link for that off the top of my head. That's not my business email, of course, but that's the easiest way to get me. Just send me an email there and say that you'd like to get the free report about making quote graphics in PowerPoint. You're welcome, Laurie. And then in the email notes that Rick sent out, there is another free offer there. And let me just tell you a little bit about that. And I'm going to refresh my page here and see if we have any more questions on the Facebook group. But the free offer that I shared in the email notes is actually for a series of three training videos that I'm just working on. Okay, it looks like Karen is on. Great. Welcome, Karen. Oh, no, I'm looking at an older one. Sorry. When I refreshed it, it popped me down the page. All right. I'm sorry, I'm distracting myself. Back to the report, the free training videos. I have created three training videos that show different ways of enhancing the images. So if you're putting images into a slide presentation or a video, there are some techniques that you can do to add different types of animation that will make them more engaging. And then one of the videos is about working with static images like you could use, or a social media share, or a blog post, or an infographic, different ways to enhance the images. So I put the link for the opt-in page in the email. And then that will take you to, once you put your name and email in, it'll take you to a page where you can access all three videos. I don't have the second and third ones quite finished, but they should be up there. Probably one will get done tonight and the other one tomorrow. But the first one is up there now, so you can get started with that. I thought I was going to have them all finished over the weekend, but not quite. All right. So let's see. Roy says, I can figure out how to do it in animation programs, but I'm looking for something simpler and quicker. Roy, you want to post a note there what it is that you're trying to do? I know you're saying about doing something in an animation program, but maybe to create the little white characters. That's probably what you're talking about, right? Yeah, the little white characters. You know, I don't really know. That's beyond my graphic skills. I'm trying to think if I know anybody that would. You know what? You might ask David Alexander if he's got a suggestion for how to do those. When it comes to characters like that, I just look for somebody that's selling them and I use those. I'm not good with designing my own three-dimensional graphics. I can do with one-dimensional, but not three-dimensional. All right. So if nobody has any further questions, I actually have, we have a few more minutes. I'll share a little bit more content with you. And that I already started talking about the three videos that you can access that show these techniques, but I can go ahead and describe some of the techniques that you can use to make your images more engaging once you've downloaded them. One thing to be aware of when you start to do that is you want to be really careful with your image quality when you're scaling and sizing your images. So, for instance, if you are adding an image to a PowerPoint slide where it's the slide is fairly large, right? And if the image doesn't fill up the whole slide, which many of them won't, one thing you want to do for sure is if you're going to expand it, be sure to drag from the corner so you're moving it in both directions at the same time, both height and width. Otherwise, if you just do it one way, you're going to distort the image. But even if you drag from the corner so the dimensions stay right, you still need to be careful. Some images will get degraded. They'll start to look pixelated if it's not a high enough quality image. So be really careful of that. And if you're downloading images from a site where they give you a choice of the resolution or the dimensions of the image, you want to download as large a one as you can so that you have the option to expand it on the screen. Presenter Media is one that gives you a lot of different choices for your dimensions. Wikimedia Commons also, if they have it available in different sizes, they will give you those different links for downloading. I think every stock photo has some that are in different sizes. The others, Markfile and Unsplash, those you just download what is. And so it's going to depend on how high the quality is of the image that you download, whether you can expand it or not. And of course, if you're downloading vector images, you can expand them, but most of these sites are not using vector images. Presenter Media, I think some of those are vector, but even if not, they're very good quality for the clip art. So aside from that, you know, and knowing how, whatever graphic program you're using, knowing how to enlarge the images. The other thing that you want to look at then is things like filtering and picture effects. So, you know, Instagram, of course, has lots of filters that you can use to change an image. There are other online programs. There's one called Quozio where you can choose an image from their site and then you can manipulate it with filters and things like that. And then you can type a quote on top of it and save that as a JPEG to upload on Facebook. But even in PowerPoint, there are some filtering that you can add. You'll just have to play around with it and see what things you like. Another thing in PowerPoint, at least, is that you have picture effects that you can apply, such as tilting and rotating. You can even rotate three-dimensionally so that it has perspective. And that's new, I think, in the maybe 2010, I'm not sure, but in 2013 you definitely can do that. In the past, if you tilted something, it would just be the same size in the back and in the front, so it didn't really look like it was on an angle. But now they've added an option where you can tilt with perspective, and so now it really does make it look like you've tilted it to the side and the back part is smaller, so that's nice. There are some other cool picture effects. One of the things that I show in the video is how to make it look like a snapshot with the white frame around it, like the old-fashioned black and white photo frames, snapshots. Different kinds of framing options inside of Facebook where you can frame it in black or in a double frame or a frame, the white frame, like I said. So those are fun to play around with, and it makes the images more interesting than just putting the plain picture on your slide. You can also even download frames from picture sites. Microsoft Office's image site has a lot of frames, I know. I think every stock photo sometimes has them, and morgue file sometimes has them. Those are not going to be blank in the middle, so you'd have to take the picture and put it on top of the frame, but you can do that. And then adding animation, of course, is another option, but that's not always real easy. So looks like we are at the top of the hour now, so I hope that you enjoyed the call. I'm happy to share that information with you. Again, if you want to download the 3 training videos, I'll go ahead and put that link in the Facebook group as well, but it's also in the notes that Rick emailed out this morning. So thank you, everybody, for attending. Thanks, Roy. I'm glad you enjoyed the presentation. I'll go through and like the comments now, since I can put my phone down, and I will also type in the address if you want to get those 3 training videos. So thank you very much, and I'm going to end the call.